This is Danny from the Truth Seekers podcast at www.truthseekerscast.com, and you are listening to Strangely Literal with my BTF, Tabs. I love you, my BTF.
Dislike that, Anya. She's newly human and strangely literal.
What? I don't say that. No one says that. No one talks that way.
Strangely Literal, the podcast.
You haven't seen my drawer of inappropriate starches.
Here's the part where you make a choice.
Deborah Book was just telling us funny stories about his life at the monastery.
This goes beyond anything I've ever done. It's a total loss of control. And not in a nice, wholesome, my girlfriend has a pierced tongue kind of way.
I think you've already figured out I'm not the poster boy for normal.
I've given some thought to moving off the edge. Not an ideal location.
What a crazy random happenstance.
Hi everyone, this is Tabs, and welcome to another episode of Strangely Literal. Sorry to everyone who actually believed my last episode where I said that I was switching to the Twilight fandom. It is totally not true. Never, never, ever, ever believe anything I podcast on April 1st. It is always a April Fool's joke. If you believed it, I'm very sorry. I did get some frantic emails and Facebook and Twitter comments, which of course made me laugh, but I'm very sorry for your pain. A lot of you got it though, and I'm very glad you did, because that was totally not serious. Though it is tempting to switch to a popular fandom and get lots of feedback and applause, and but you know, Joss Whedon is my one true fandom. So there we go. Which leads me to a very interesting discussion and debate. There is lots of craziness going on right now about Buffy season 8, and I will readily admit to you that I am not caught up. Sadly, I have not been making my trips to the comic book store like I used to. So I am very behind, but I kind of understand what's going on. And all I can say is trust Joss. It never fails that he will bring in plot points that will not always make you happy, but they will always be exactly what we need. So trust him, and we'll just buckle in and see what happens. Speaking of trusting Joss, that rolls right into this kind of story that we have today. It was written exactly after Omega in season one of Dollhouse, so there are some things that might not entirely be true now that we've seen the entire season, but I still thought it was a good story, so I wanted to bring it to you. It's called The Shot of Whiskey, and it is read by my dear friend Kim, and it explores one of my very favorite little twisty relationships that I wish we would have had more time to play with, and that is Dr. Saunders, aka Whiskey, and Topher. And so it is a very fun story. And you know, it's an, again, trust Joss. I'm very sad for all the people that did not watch all of Dollhouse and did not trust that Joss knew where he was going, because the ending episodes were so mind-blowing. I mean, amazing. Some of his best writing, I think, and very, very poignant and beautiful, and plus Felicia Day. So we all know how I feel about Felicia Day. She's talented and beautiful and lovely and sweet, and very, very considerate of her fans. So that's that. Also, you might notice from the numbers that we are getting very close to my 100th episode of Strangely Literal, and I would love your comments and feedback. So, you know, make sure that I do not float into this twilight, the twilight zone. Send me some feedback and say, hey, congrats on 100 episodes. It seems very strange for me to ask for you guys to congratulate me for 100 episodes, but it would be fun to do a feedback episode. You know, you can send in what your favorite story was and you know, things like that. So send them in to supcomtabz@gmail.com. That's supremecommandertabs@gmail.com. And I will have them read. Or, you know, if you can, record yourself. Send in a voicemail clip. That would be great, too. I think that's it. So I'm going to just let it go over to the story. And I will see you guys again next time on Strangely Literal.
time for some thrilling heroics.
Here's how it is.
You get killed, I'm telling.
Okay, that's new.
A Shot of Whiskey by Assassin, read by Kim. Whiskey came in 2 days after Topher signed his contract to work inside the dollhouse. "Hello, Whiskey," Topher said, his hands folded behind his back. She sat up with the chair. "Did I fall asleep?" He smiled. "For a little while." "Should I go now?" "If you like." Topher watched her go, and then looked down at the script on the desk again. "Hey! Wow, that really works. It's not the same seeing the program at home and then coming here, you know, on the front lines. She didn't even recognize me." "It's not her anymore," Yates said, patting a heavy hand on Topher's shoulder. "I think you should be able to handle it from here." "Where are you going after this?" Topher asked. And Yates gives him the ghost of a smile. "Anywhere but here." "Here, with all the hot women and massages and gourmet food? Are you kidding?" "You'll want to leave, too, before long." Yates picked up his box of desk's decorations, little metal contraptions, a troll doll, and a couple of serious-looking books, and heads out the door. "That's not going to happen. I'm not leaving," Topher says. "Not at least for 5 years." 3 years later, they were standing in his office, and she wasn't Whiskey anymore. "I'm curious," said Dr. Saunders, her beautiful face a ruined mess of scars and emotion. Topher's throat worked. "About?" "Well, I guess I understand why they wouldn't want to waste an investment." Her new words are tinged with bitterness, regret. "And I suppose, why hire a new physician when you can just imprint the broken doll?" A crack in her voice. He watches her, jaw tight. She stops and levels her gaze at him. "But why did you decide it was so important for me to hate you?" she asked. Topher doesn't know how to respond. 2 years beforehand, the dollhouse was dark. Topher sat on his couch, playing Halo on the computer with his Xbox controller peripheral. And he was losing. "Oh, darn it! You were camping the spawn point!" "It's not my fault, you suck!" Whiskey laughed, her baseball cap turned around and backwards on her head. "I don't owe you! Just wait until we restart this match, and you don't have a 3-kill lead on me," Topher said. "I'm so going to own you." "Yeah? You want to start over? You'll still suck in another game," Whiskey said. She dropped her controller and got up, and Topher took advantage of the opportunity to kill her character with his sword. "Ha! Take that!" "Frags don't count when I've already left," she called over her shoulder. "Allow me to revel in my petty wins." "What are you doing?" A lighter clicked, a flare of flame. "Don't think I've forgotten what day it is." Whiskey returned to the couch with a chocolate donut and one lit candle. She sat beside him, cradling the plate between her hands, and grinned. "Happy birthday, Topher." Sometimes, Topher regretted sending her on all those assignments. But Whiskey was the most popular active, and she had volunteered, after all. "Where's she going today?" Topher asked Whiskey's handler, typing away at the computer. "You know that guy with the bounty hunting fantasy? We're sending her off with Alpha to play Bonnie and Clyde." The handler was bored and picked at her fingernails. "I really hate Alpha's handler. He's such a dick." Topher sat up, grabbed her wrist. "That assignment was flagged. It's risky." "Yeah, so?" "So Whiskey isn't allowed on assignments that have been flagged for danger." "She's going this time," the handler said, shaking off Topher's hand. "She was requested personally. She'll be fine, kid." Topher finished the imprint, pulling the wedge out of the drive. He stood over Whiskey in the chair for a long time, watching her wait with that patient, vacant smile all actives had. "I'm sorry," he said, and then he started the imprint. Not long afterward, Alpha was on the loose, and the number one active had been ruined. "Send whiskey to the attic," Adele said, heavy with regret. She turned to exit the imprinting room. "Wait!" Dover cried. He was on the verge of tears, cheeks wet, chest heaving. "Wait, you... no! She can't go there! You can't do that!" Adele was cold and calculating, but not unsympathetic. The worry lines between her eyebrows were furrowing permanent indentations in her skin, and she folded her arms as she studied Topher. Whiskey lay in the chair, her face scarred but bleeding stopped. Her clothes are still a mess. "You said the wedge with her personality on it has been destroyed," Adele says in a low, even voice. "She's no longer useful as an active. I'm sorry, Topher. We can't leave her like this." "But..." She took a deep breath. "Your sister is dead. There's nothing more to be done about it. Your contract here is finished. You will be paid in full and can leave as soon as Taka flies from Tokyo to replace you." Topher stared between Whiskey and Adele and then shook his head. "No. A lot of people got killed today. I had imprints on all of them. You need a new doctor, right?" "What do you propose?" "We can't send her out anymore," Topher said. "But why can't we keep her inside?" Years later, it wasn't Whiskey who's standing in front of Topher, eyes flashing and hands clenched into fists. "Why did you decide it was so important for me to hate you?" Dr. Saunders asked. Topher is helpless to respond. A moment passes, two. Anger flashes across her scarred face. "I think that's strange." "You didn't open it," he said, gesturing to the file on the computer, trying to stop her from leaving. He sounded like he was going to cry, but he couldn't help it. He couldn't tell her who she was before Whiskey. Because Adele had made him promise. Saving her from the emotional pain of her true life, destroyed by Alpha when he went after the self-shelf, had been the condition that kept her out of the attic. But if she had looked at the file, if she had discovered for herself that he was her brother, that she wasn't nearly as alone as she thought... No. "Aren't you curious to see who you really are?" The glance she shot at him was filled with venom, but the anger isn't for him. No, her pain was beyond Topher, beyond the dollhouse. "I know who I am," she said. And then she was gone, and all Topher could do was stand there, trying to remember how to breathe. "I had to," he whispered to the room. But there was nobody to respond.
All of the characters and universes referenced here are the intellectual copyrighted material of Joss Whedon, the Fox Network, Universal Pictures, and others. This podcast and the stories contained herein are purely for entertainment purposes, and no money or Second Life money was made off of this. All stories are by individuals and used with permission from the author. Strangely Literal was created in Chicago and is now produced in Los Angeles and has no connection or affiliation with Joss Whedon. For more information about this show, please check out our website at strangelyliteral.com.